Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to the April edition of the Woodman Worship Podcast. And we're not going to hint at when we're recording.
Oh my gosh. Chuckery's not even here.
That's why. That's why it's not going to happen.
Why is Chuckery not here, Casey?
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is Casey at Garden of the Gods Market.
Yes,
and
which
10
is very
is Casey
happy,
with
Casey.
Bronchitis.
Yes.
How is Chuckery?
Chuckery is an 8.
Oh.
He's doing better. He's been a little sick.
Chuckery's sicky.
He's a little sicky. His kids are a little sicky. So he's home resting and trying not to get anyone else sick.
Like a good,
which I appreciate.
Like a good leader.
I'm sure he's indulging in some March Madness.
Mm.
Yes.
And not to hit it when we're recording this.
Dang it, Carson! You ruined it.
A lot of you know I am a big sports guy now.
Yep.
Now.
I know
as
this
of
so well.
6 months ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't fill out a bracket, though.
It's been a big journey.
But I am a Razorback fan.
What is that?
Arkansas?
Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah. Oh,
is this basketball?
I grew up in Arkansas, and we only have college teams.
Arkansas.
Everyone says, who?
Well, Woo Pig Suey. That's our chant.
That's wow. Right. You did tell me that once.
The whole arena goes, Woo Pig Suey.
And what is Pig Suey?
Oh, I don't know.
No, that's what you shout for the pigs to come eat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eat pigs. And who did those pigs eat? I'm pretty sure.
The opponent, obviously.
I'm pretty sure Kansas. It was a big upset.
One of the Kansas.
Whoever Matt Farrell's team is, I know that the Razorbacks beat, and it was a big upset.
Yeah, Kansas, you're right.
That's all I know. Soccer's still going too, and soccer, like life, is pain and joy and suffering, and it's all happening at once.
And but, faking injuries.
Yeah, getting to sports is super fun.
Mm.
I related to soccer, started Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, Dale's here. Dale's here this time.
Hey, Dale.
I'm on season 2. Pretty hooked.
And you can, after this episode, you can submit your votes on if Dale should get on the mic more often.
Mm-hmm.
My vote would be no.
We'll put it in the newsletter.
The rest of you can weigh your opinions and I will respect it.
You sound great. You sound great on the microphone.
Sure.
All right. Well, should we just get into it?
Yeah.
All right. First up, you know, you love it, On the Radar. I think it's pretty obvious what's on the radar this month. Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We love Easter. Casey, what's your favorite Easter candy?
Ooh, peanut butter, Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Mm.
Those are great.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Because they are way more fresh than a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I agree.
Yes, because they make it for the seasonally.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
They're really creamy and delicious.
I was going to say, I think they're better, and that explains it.
Yeah.
You know, it's confusing, though. They have footballs year-round. Hmm.
They do?
Yeah, at
That's
Walmart.
Because nobody wants to buy them.
Maybe,
they just stay
I'm like,
there.
Guys, the Super Bowl is only 1 month.
It's 1 day.
What's your favorite Easter candy, Sydney?
I love the Starburst jelly beans.
Mm.
They are so good. My mom puts them out every Easter, and we eat them by handfuls. It's so good.
Handfuls.
It's bad. Mitch would approve.
Carson?
Oh, I don't know if it's an Easter candy in particular, but we would always get Easter baskets from my parents, and there'd be Smarties. And I love Smarties. That's not really funny.
That's not an Easter candy at all.
Yeah, I know.
But that's what
they're Easter colors,
I
guess.
Well, I'm receiving,
had them.
I'm receiving a lot more grace here than when there was another meeting where we had to say our favorite Easter candy. Yeah, and I was shamed.
Yeah.
For Smarties?
For Smarties.
Okay. They are Easter colors, at least.
Yeah.
Robin's egg is also a good answer. Mm. I think they're nasty, but my mom loves them.
Well, I hope on the weekend of April 8th and 9th, you're all getting to enjoy your favorite Easter candy after our weekend of Easter services.
Yes. Dale, you have to say.
I don't know if I have one.
I prefer candies that aren't specifically Easter candy, I think.
Mm.
Okay. Hmm. I don't eat a lot of candy, honestly.
Okay. What do you eat a lot
of? That's good. Lots of Red Bull.
I don't know. I eat a lot of Red Bull.
Easter Red Bull.
So if I were to bring Easter eggs with candy in them, on Easter morning for all the friends. I should just bring you a Red Bull.
On Easter Sunday. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's a long
Day. Yeah. That's a long weekend for sure.
Yeah. So we've got Easter coming up. Good Friday, of course. Yeah. Services at all the campuses. Long weekend for everyone, but always a special one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For our faith and also just for our church. Always a lot of new people walking through the doors or, mm-hmm. or people who maybe dabble a few times a year. And so it's a... Yeah, big opportunity for the believer and also a big opportunity for the seeker as well. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for that. There's like a cool art installation.
Yes.
It's floating around the campuses.
Yes.
It's rotating campuses over the next, well, leading up to Easter. All right. Well, yeah, Easter's coming up. We're super excited about that. Excited to see what the Lord's going to do through that. Then we have a parentology series coming up post-Easter, which is a little bit different for Woodman. Typically, we, you know, we kind of pick a book and preach it verse by verse. And this one is a little more topical, still very based in Scripture, mm-hmm. but more so each week we'll kind of hit a topic around parenting and then unpacking that using Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I wish Chuck Ray was here to share his father playlist.
Oh yeah.
And also his son playlist. Mm. Father playlist, good father, run to the father. How deep the father's love.
That's good.
Yep.
Turns out God is our father. This just in. A lot of
so get ready.
Sneak peek on the parenting series.
Yeah.
There's a lot of metaphor in Scripture. So
yeah.
So thank you, Casey.
Yeah, and that's something I remember Josh pointing out. That's cool. He was like, yeah, this is kind of about like, oh, parents, this is how, you know, this is a wise and godly way to be parents. But it's also like, hey, church, you are the children, actually. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not just for like kids. It's like, it's going to be very much for us too, even if we're not parents. So that'll mm-hmm. be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. We also just had our second worship and prayer night of the year.
Woo!
Yeah, which is awesome. A lot of you know one of the core objectives for our church always, but in this year in particular, is trying to increase engagement in worship. And so these nights are kind of a very direct and, yeah, focused way to really drive that home. In some intentional moments of worship and prayer. And yeah, it was a really special night.
I thought it was super cool. So it was a weird day for me personally. And then just walking into it, it helped me kind of like get back into like, this is where perspective needs to like start, is like with God. And like that puts everything else in line. And it was super cool because we introduced a new song, Jesus Did It, sneak peek for Easter. We're going to have it at all campuses for Easter, which is going to be super excited. But we did that, and then it went straight into Hallelujah for the Cross. And it was just so cool to see everybody like kind of taking it and pondering Jesus Did It. And then as soon as Hallelujah for the Cross started, like everyone stood up and was just so engaged. And it's a huge gift to be off stage sometimes. I wasn't on stage that night, and it was so cool to be in the congregation and see the congregation just like jump in and sing really loud and really engage with the song. So it's cool to see, like, yes, we have this goal and it is happening, and like it's not going to happen in a year, but it is happening and people are engaging, and that was really cool. We also took communion as a church for everybody there, and that was cool to incorporate that into like not a weekend service, just a worship night, and remember like that's an act of worship as well. We got to see all our campus pastors up in front, and just I love to see the whole body together because we're not all together a lot. So I thought it was a special night.
Yeah. Dale, what do you think?
Yeah. Had the opportunity to be in the booth mixing for the night. A rare opportunity for me at Rockerman. So, yeah, was really, really cool experience. Had a lot of people come out, which was awesome, after the initial night got snowed out.
Right.
So, yeah, it was great to see probably more than we would have seen initially. So But yeah, Jesus did it. I actually forgot about it. It's been a couple weeks.
Good.
Yeah. No, it was like really, really enjoyed the song. Really fun to mix. Don't think I'd listened to it before that night, if I'm honest. So it was like figuring it out as like the band is
rehearsing.
Which
we don't advise.
Nope. Do not advise. Listen to the songs beforehand to have an idea. But yeah, it was like the energy in it and the way that it built, especially with Kenneth started it very low and very solemn. Hmm. And then had kind of his, like, shared his, some of his story. And then came back in very, like, celebrative.
Hmm.
And it just, like, the energy exploded in the room.
Hmm.
And that, which, very, very cool. It was very fun. But with the being a new song, people not knowing it, it's hard to measure kind of the engagement of how far can I push the mix without offending people because it's a song they don't know.
You're trying to read the room.
Yeah, like trying to read the room, a room I haven't mixed in 4 months at this point.
Yeah.
So like I'm still relearning. So interesting balance, but was, yeah, cool experience, very powerful experience. Good to be in a room with that many people and just like feel the energy of them and not just the band driving it, but the congregation really getting behind the songs and just pouring their hearts out in worship was really awesome to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So we're planning on doing another, I think the next one is in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, we'd like to keep doing these in some capacity, somewhat regularly moving forward, figuring that out. And I think each time we're figuring out, kind of how to best structure these nights. And, but so far they've been such a good time. So if you've missed them, July will be the next one. We'll be announcing that date here. It'll get announced on weekends and you'll hear all about that. But yeah, that song, Jesus Did It. We've talked about it before on the podcast. I want to say like maybe 2 years ago, we brought that song up. Stars kind of aligned and we were able to try it out on the worship night. It seemed to go over well. And so we're, introducing it, in April and giving it a shot on weekends. It's a cool song of testimony, lyrically, but then musically, you've heard us joke about, gospel adjacent. That would be what this song is.
It's a co-lead. So it's super fun.
It's a co-lead. There aren't really any like weird chords or anything, but it kind of makes you think that there are.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what I mean? Yeah, we're excited about that song. That'll be sweet. And maybe that's a good jumping off point for new music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new music. So I might just rattle these off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone has any thoughts or comments on any of these, please. I haven't even listened to all this yet.
Yeah.
A new Bethel album just came out called Come Up Here.
Come on up here.
Come up here, Sean.
Which is what my mom would yell down when it was time for dinner.
Oh my gosh.
That takes me back. Huh. Yeah. That's good.
Oh my gosh.
It's a parenting. Yeah. Another parenting themed album. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Cody Carnes apparently, well, he released a new album in the past 6 months or whatever, and it's awesome. We've been playing Take You at Your Word and I'll Follow. Yeah, really cool album. Apparently he recorded two albums when he recorded that one album.
What?
So he's about to release another album. And he released the first song from that album called Who Is This Man? Which is what my mom would say.
Okay. When
every time I
delivery
every
guy.
Time I brought a new friend home from school.
Oh wow!
Nice.
Oh my
God. Thank you.
Okay.
Phil Wickham, keeping in tradition of releasing an Easter song just a little too late.
Yeah.
Just
so
put out,
no worship teams can actually use
it. Yeah. Put out a song called Sunday Is Coming. New worship initiative. I don't know how I feel about it. New worship initiative song, You've Already Won, came out, which is pretty sweet, and they're releasing an album soon as well. And then Passion just put out I've Witnessed It.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a lot. That's
yeah,
a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't even listened to all of it. I will say, you know, the Passion albums, they pump them out pretty often. I still have a soft spot for them, so I always enjoy listening to them. Just listening in that context of an arena full of yes. college mm-hmm. students and new songs, and there's just such an energy there. I don't know how much, if any, of the album we would like actually do on weekends, but there's a they have like a new version of Christ Our King on there. There's like another live version of Same God, Elevation playing it at Passion. But regardless, it's just they're always special albums.
Yeah. I actually really like the title track. Someone shared it with us. Yeah, I've witnessed it. It's kind of like it's kind of similar to Same God, like similar message, but it's just saying it in a different way, and like reminding yourself as you sing it. So
let's play a clip.
That's cool. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life in it. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I live to tell. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. All my praise, all my worship, all my might, surrender to Jesus. Another one that I've been listening to a lot lately is from the Bethel album. I've only listened to the whole thing.
Come up here.
One time. Yes. Yes, Carson.
Dang, kids.
But it's towards the beginning of the album. It actually kind of works with Beauty, which we've mentioned before on the podcast, because they're the same key and they kind of flow. But it's called Holy Forever, and Jen Johnson sings it. It's just this album is a lot of ascriptive songs, and this is definitely one of them. But it kind of talks about how like all of creation sings like you are holy forever, and the people who've come before us have sung it. We sing it, and the people that will still believe are gonna sing it, and like that's the song of the ages forever. So it's just a really good message. I feel like it would work in our repertoire if we ever decided to do it. But the most interesting thing about it I love is the drum groove of it is kind of inverted. So like instead of being kick four on the floor, it's kind of a snare four on the floor. And it's super intriguing to me. So love to show you that part of the song.
Same song forever and amen. Though the angels cry.
Been listening to Because of Christ again a little bit. We're doing it for middle school camp coming up. So, and we, yeah, with our house band students. So they've been playing it, practicing it, and I've heard them play it a bunch. So it's been stuck in my head. But just, yeah, very. Just,
it's like a very gospel centric song.
Yeah.
Yeah, lyrically and kind of hymn-y feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah, kind of hymn feel. Just like. Yeah, giving it back to God, saying like, because of you, like we can do all of this. And,
yeah,
just also, like the energy in the song too, and heard three different high school student drummers play it recently, back to back, three very different feels. Mm. So, very drummer dependent and just getting the right energy without going over the top, but being like confident and solid in it.
Nice. Well, yeah, let's play a clip.
Yeah.
One song on that Passion album that I really, really liked, and then I was really confused by it, and then I looked up scripture and I really like it again, even more.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's called Fall Like Rain, and it is about the Holy Spirit, and the verses are really solid and really easy to understand, about seeking the presence of God. But then the chorus says, fall like rain, Holy Spirit, fall like rain, Holy Spirit, have your way, let your glory fall down. Which was a little like, is that scriptural? That feels like mystical, you know, like the Holy Spirit fall. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit's already in us. It's with us. Mm-hmm. But looking up in scripture, places where the Spirit of God has been described as falling on his people and coming down in a moment, to reveal the glory of God or the presence of God, helped it make a lot more sense. And I think you guys know this, we've struggled to find doctrinally solid songs about the Holy Spirit because it is probably the least, understood part of the Trinity. And there's less in scripture about the Holy Spirit than there is about God the Father and God the Son. And so that's what prompted me to look it up, because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to listen to this if it's not true in scripture. But it really is. So that made me love it even more. And I really, really love the verses in particular. So let's play a clip.
One thing I ask, one thing I seek, so much more than anything, to dwell within your house for all my days. Knowing you is everything, so I let go of the lesser things. You alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, so stir.
Cool. Well, that's a lot of new music to check out. Yeah, let's get into this month's segment, which we're calling the Production Roundtable. Yeah. Well, yeah, we wanted to take a moment this month to just talk about production and tech team, however you want to call that team. And the relationship with the musicians and worship leaders on stage. And, you know, we recognize that sometimes it can look like two separate teams, but we know that, in fact, we're all working together to achieve the same mission on any given weekend. And so we wanted to take some time this month to kind of talk about that relationship and what that looks like practically from weekend to weekend. So we've got We've got a mix of worship leaders and production here today, putting Dale on the microphone, which he loves so much, as the honorary production representative.
It is my natural habitat.
To be on the microphone?
For sure.
To be on the microphone.
That's what we want
to
hear.
Only when it's a talkback.
Yes.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
So if we can start with you, if you're cool with that.
Let's do it.
What are some ways that you intentionally connect with the band and musicians, worship leaders on stage weekend to weekend?
I think kind of probably the easiest place to start with this would be just connecting with a drummer. The way, just because they have kind of the most complicated configuration for their ears to anyone else, because they have kick in one channel, snare in another.
True.
And then toms, hi-hat, and overheads are in a third channel, kind of mixed together. So just first few minutes of rehearsal, once I get levels and everything, checking with them, you're like, hey, how's it feel? What do you hear? What do you not hear? What can I do to make you feel better so you can play better? And some weeks it's, no, everything's good. Feels good. Other weeks it's back and forth for all of rehearsal, and it's just little tweaks to, you know, I need, it's like this past weekend, was with a good friend, CJ.
Sure.
And yeah.
CJ Fant.
Yeah, good dude. Good drummer.
Tall guy.
6'4" and a half.
6'4" and a half.
Measured him with a tape measure.
And like through rehearsal, just struggling with getting toms in his mix. So we ganned him up more than we probably should have. Still sounded good, but it was dramatic. And he's like, floor tom feels better. Rack tom, can't hear it. So then poking around after rehearsal, there was a gate on them that when he was playing softer.
Wasn't coming through.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes sense.
So yeah, just that like back and forth with him. And we have a good enough rapport that we can kind of be like, hey, this is what I feel. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And I can come back at him and be like, this is what I see. This is what I changed. Let me know.
Yeah.
And then after, I think, all of rehearsal and all of run through, we figure that out.
And right.
Service comes and he's like, ah. So good.
Yeah.
So yeah, drummers get a lot of my attention on that. But just like trying to check in with everyone and be like, hey, can you hear yourself? How's everything sound?
Mm-hmm.
And then being flexible in what I'm doing to try and if anything is wrong or if they want something or notice something, be like, all right, I can change this or this. Let me know how it feels.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it sounds like what I'm hearing is collaboration is a very key part of the
job. Collaborative, humble, not saying this is how it is, deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
There are moments I want to say that.
Hey, me too. Sure. And I have to like, I have to apologize.
Like,
yeah.
No, I can do better.
But I love that I love that you recognize that the way that CJ perceives his mix affects his playing.
Right. Totally.
And affects the entire team and the entire worship service.
And that also affects what he's giving you.
Right.
To work with.
Right.
If he can't hear himself, he's not going to play consistently. So then what I'm getting from him is going to be less than his best.
Yeah.
So giving him the 3-4 minutes of my time to make his ear sound good.
Yeah.
In turn is going to make what I'm getting sound good, which makes everything sound better. So,
and I think the reverse of that is for us musicians is understanding the importance of working with the tech and getting their feedback from how it sounds in the room, because regardless of how it sounds to us, like we have to trust that they know how it's affecting everybody who's worshiping. And we could be like jamming out on stage feeling really, really good, but if the cymbals are just
killing
everybody's ears, they're not going to be with us, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that two-way street is really important to keep in mind.
Totally.
I guess going off of that, not just from an audio engineer perspective, but production as a whole, how do you view that team's role on a weekend?
Yeah, I think we're a compliment to the band. Compliment with an E, not an I, to clarify.
Wait.
Like work compliment, together. Like, yeah.
Not like you look really nice today,
they,
band.
They're spelled differently?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It is, yeah, two different words.
Okay.
Very different.
Yay, Dale.
I guess I need both in my life.
Yeah.
So, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We're, okay. Yeah. Like, compliment more as like supplement.
Okay.
Like,
I see.
Casey, you sound great today. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to that. Both are helpful.
Yes. But,
yeah. Like, audio, obviously, like, is going to bring the sound together, but then, like, a good center computer operator is making sure that you're seeing what the next slide is, what the next lines are.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, the off chance that a vocalist forgets a lyric, mm-hmm. or just is...
The off chance happens a lot.
I'm not accusing.
I do
good
it
relationships.
So much. Yeah.
yeah, just, like, being able to cue that, but then also... center computer paying attention in rehearsal to know the map and having kind of that dialogue when necessary if what we have is different than what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys know you have tracks, guides saying go here.
Yep.
And we're on a chorus, you're on a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to like communicate that in between songs and rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
I think is super critical so that we can help you lead.
Mm-hmm.
And not be distracting and trying to guess where you're going during service.
Because if you're in the congregation and the words continue to not be right, it's really hard to worship Jesus.
Yep. You're turning around looking at us in the booth going, what's up?
A lot of glares.
Yeah.
And I think it's on the band and worship leaders to like, I feel like there have been various situations in the past where like worship's like, why isn't this right? Why isn't it matching up? And it's like, again, there needs to be that humility. Like mm-hmm. they're following us. We're following them. Like it's like a mutual thing at the same time.
Yep.
And I had, I think, a worship pastor in the past say like center screen operator, especially is like a worship leader too, because mm-hmm. like if the lyrics aren't up there, the people don't know what to sing. So it's really cool that they get to like lead in that way and like showing them like this is what truths we are holding on to right now. And like that's always stuck with me. And I love to like remind, like if the situation calls for, like I love to remind our center screen people about that, because it's like, you know, you're not just pushing a button, like you get to lead people, and that's really, really cool. And I love that. And I have to remind myself of that. And I always try and say thank you so much, because we always ask them for so many changes, so many times. Thank you every time.
There is a reason I find center screen the most stressful.
Yeah. There's a lot of changes, lots of arrangements.
Yeah. I think also worth noting with lyrics is the way that, like on the music side, you guys map a song and break a song down into like verses, choruses, bridges isn't necessarily how song select breaks a song down.
Yeah.
So when you call something bridge 2, bridge 3, tag, we don't necessarily have that.
Those titles.
Yeah. Exactly in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good reminder.
Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Just the way that it imports when we bring it in, it is called something else.
Yeah.
Or if you do like a refrain is one line, well, you might have, but you're doing it four times, we'll have one refrain with it. Four times together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that grace of we're saying the same thing, but we're looking at something different.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the translation of getting to the same point.
Yeah, for sure. We highlighted how Pro Presenter is leading worship on a weekend. There's some other roles on the production team that are also playing a crucial part in the weekend. Typically, we've got audio, lighting, and camera as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd love if we could just touch on a few ways that those are leading worship as well. Maybe starting with audio, since that's your home base.
Yeah, that's... there's so much. Occupies most of my brain at any given moment. Aside from like the kind of... centric, like highlighting the band in the best light, and not as my approach is showing the band in the best light that you're able, not trying to change or manipulate too far what is like what the band is producing. Not like getting in the way with that, with too many effects or movement, panning, etc. Just like showing the band for what they're giving is kind of where I try to stay. There's, you know, fun things you can do to add to that and make it bigger, cooler, but like keeping the band, like being honest to the band and representing them, I think is the good place to be. Hmm. And a good like kind of reminder of, yeah, this isn't about how good my mix is or how loud my mix is. It's like, it's about worship and it's about the band being able to show their heart and pour out their praise so that the congregation can join them. Mm-hmm. So just not being distracting, I think, is
sure, yeah.
first and foremost. To do that, you want to be able to hear vocals. That's
kind of 101.
Yeah, it's like first thing, can you hear the vocal? If not, what do you need to do to get there? And that's like bread and butter, first thing. Then everybody knows what a kick sounds like or feels like. Whether or not they like it is a different story. But everyone knows what a kick sounds like. And everyone knows what a snare sounds like. Because you know, you listen to music, you hear it all the time. So those are kind of the three things that, like, in my mind, need to be right. Like, first thing, get those right. Guitars, bass, piano, tracks, supplemental, but, like, should be there. But there's more kind of subjective what they need to sound like for it to sound good.
Oh, that's awesome. I liked what you said earlier too about when you were talking about Jesus did it at the worship night and not knowing how much to like push volume. It made me think about how much you have the power to drive engagement as well. So that when you feel that there's a moment happening or that there's an energy in the room, there's a little bit of permission to like turn it up a bit.
Yeah.
Right. And then people follow that as well. I mean, what we're doing is music, it's energy. It's
Dynamics are as much on the band as your engineer.
Sure. Yeah.
It's, you know, if I'm, you know, big moment in the song and I'm pulling faders back,
it's not going to be a big moment.
Down, right.
Yeah.
You're playing hard and it sounds
won't
like
matter.
You're playing hard.
Won't matter.
But the volume and the energy and the sensation of it isn't there.
Yeah.
So, that's why you should listen to the songs before a weekend.
Yeah.
Before a service. Know what the song does, know where it goes, so that you can help the band and go with the band.
Totally.
That's good. Well, how about lighting? You've dabbled in lighting, huh?
I dabble.
Yeah.
I don't.
We like lights.
I don't prefer.
I'm super curious about this one because I think a lot of people are very split about like lights in a worship space. And like,
I am also very split.
Yeah, what do we do about it?
Internally, this keeps me up at night.
I think maybe that's okay because it keeps you thinking and like what's the best. Yeah.
Okay, I'll start more broad than lighting and then we'll get to lighting with it. I think there's just like the, I don't know, philosophically, I guess, the idea that production is forced or like manufactured in some way rather than doing something with excellence because we have that ability and we have that.
Like an art, like it's an art form.
Right.
Yeah.
Like music is an art. People see that as an art form. Lighting is viewed as production, flashy, extraneous. Like more than what is necessary for something to happen. So I think, I think there's an argument for. You don't need it. But I think because we have it, we have people that are passionate for lighting. Like it can very, very easily like complement the music, add to the music dynamically. You know, bringing things in, some movement, not, you know, not crazy strobes, not flashing.
Probably not.
Those are fun. Those are cool. I don't know that they have a place in worship on a Sunday morning, on a Saturday night. But like adding to the dynamics with the lights to create kind of that immersive atmosphere, not to drive a response, to drive a reaction, but to just cultivate an environment and an atmosphere that you can come into on a weekend and feel like poured into, and you have a space to just be yourself and be open with God.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think this is the one that's really interesting, because most people on the weekend don't have the lyrics memorized. So mm-hmm. they have to have their eyes open mm-hmm. to be able to sing along, yeah. right? So then they're looking up at the screen, they're looking at the band, they're looking around. And so you can, with lighting, really draw them in and focused mm-hmm. with what's happening with the visuals on stage.
Yeah.
Or you can really distract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can feel just really disconnected.
Yeah.
And I think even just thinking about, like, this is where it's so important for the lighting people to really know the song. Mm-hmm. Because you need to understand what the heart of the song is, what the feeling of the mm-hmm. song is. Is this a warm orange, yellow type glow, cozy mm. glow?
Yeah.
Is this a sad, like purpley blue, like mm. lament song about my sin? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like what is being communicated? And, but then getting to interpret that with color mm. and with visual yeah. and with light, and helping people in such a distracted culture mm. where, like, there's people next to you and some kid like jumping up and down in the aisle. There's, you know, somebody scrolling on their phone mm. or spilled their coffee next to you. Like, there's all sorts that of things me. Happening that I can look at.
Yeah.
So is the lighting a compelling thing to draw my attention mm. and focus mm. up to what the words are and what the mood of worship is in this moment? I think it's so powerful and so, needed and necessary.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm. My the example of that, like, going so well that comes to mind is the October 2021 mm. worship night we had with the big sheet. Sheet. I know. Okay. But for Psalm 46, Lord of Hosts, oh. it was like, it looked like fire, like mm, in the yeah. back. And we say that Lord of Hosts, you're with us in the fire. And yeah. like, it was cool to see like this environment representing what we are singing, just to, like mm-hmm. further solidify the truth. And yeah. I think that's the beauty of lighting. Like when it's coupled with the song and the music, the dynamics, like it can create a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. And I also think about it as kind of how we talk about like each individual instrument in the band, like it's mm. part of a bigger whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the electric player could just like go off shredding, you know, and mm-hmm. at any given moment if mm-hmm. you wanted to, mm-hmm. but is yeah. that's what's speaking to yes. Carson's heart right now, but is that's what is needed in the song right now?
But Casey is, won't yeah. let us.
I am the electric shredding Nazi mm. on the team.
In what's kidding. It called? Is it Stronger? There's an electric part. I don't remember.
Yeah, there are electric parts.
No, okay. Well, like there's like a little solo before the bridge or something.
Okay.
Mm. Let your name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. But with the lighting, same thing. Like mm-hmm. you can put all sorts of cool color changes and movement in there, but is it adding to the mm. atmosphere, or is it over the top and taking away actually from mm. something else that's so supposed to be highlighted mm-hmm. right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about, from a musical standpoint, serving the song.
Yes.
Mm. Like whatever parts you're playing, you know, maybe the record sounds like one way, but ultimately like you've got to like serve the song where you're playing it with the people you're playing mm. it with. And I think it's similar from a production standpoint. You have to serve the moment. You have to serve the room, serve the context that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. And I'll say too, I think our team does a great job at that. Mm. So a lot of these podcasts, we talk to musicians on the team, but this month in particular, production, thanks for all that you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very grateful for it. I guess from a musician standpoint, I guess I'll just say too, I would highly emphasize, I love that Dale reaches out and, you know, checks in with musicians, hey, is everything sounding okay? I guess I'll say too, I think there's a responsibility mm. from the stage too to do the same with production. So to reach out to, I mean, I can think in the past month, I was playing electric and I, it wasn't totally clicking and I could tell it wasn't totally clicking. So I went and talked with the audio engineer and just asked like, hey, how are things sounding? Is there anything else I can, like, is there anything I can do to make your job easier? And truly coming from a place of like, you know, he has to take all these pieces and make it work. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that he has
a good piece.
Yeah, my piece. Yeah, a good piece of the puzzle. And he gave some good feedback, basically brightened up my tone a little bit for his sake. And it sounded like maybe a little bright in my ears, but he said ultimately it like served the mix better. It cut through a little bit better. It made a more full mix for him. And ultimately led to a better experience and a better mix. And so from a musician standpoint as well, I think don't wait for production to check in with you. Yeah. I think you can seek that out. And if the answer is, like if you go ask, hey, is everything good? And the answer is just, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And if they have some tweaks, that's not a reflection.
You're horrible.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of your talent or your tone or your musical choices. I know I can get so caught up in my own instrument and what I'm playing and what I'm doing. And ultimately, production has a better sense of how that all fits together. Mm-hmm. So, same team.
Same team.
And it's awesome.
Same team, for sure.
Yeah.
I think closing thought on that is, actually, I had this conversation this morning, like being in the booth, doing lights, mixing, like that is where we best like connect and feel like we're worshiping. So
that's awesome.
Yeah
love
that's
that
super really cool. And then camera team, you guys are super important, because the shots that you capture really affect how people who are watching this on a screen can engage with it. You know, like natural shots that show the room and the stage and the band, and then some like close-ups that show emotion, like all of those things make you feel like you're part of it. Or if they're really unnatural shots, you know, with like a lot of black space in the on the side, and you're kind of like, what is that behind them, or you know, something like that.
I spy.
Or if it's like, you know, waist up, but there's a ton of room above their head. Like there's just ways that it looks super unnatural and it's distracting, but there's ways that you can make people just feel like they're there and they're not home taking care of a sick loved one watching online. They're part of the church.
Yeah.
Awesome.
One body, many parts.
Well, production, thanks for all that you do. Musicians, thanks for all that you do.
As well. Great team. Got a really great team.
Yeah. Very thankful.
A really big team. That's what it is. I got a really big team.
Keep going.
That's all I know.
Okay.
Something about rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sports something.
I don't know.
Whoa, I know
anything. What's happening?
I think it's a football thing. I don't. I don't
sounds
do
like football.
Anyway, we have
rings,
a big, great team here.
Big Suey.
Yeah. Oh my
we'll leave you with one final thought. Woo, Pig Suey.
All right.
We'll
see you next
happy
month.
Easter. See
happy
you next
Easter.
Month.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.